Hey, everybody. Welcome to Pittsburgh Comics Podcast number 126. We're having fun because Adam's filling out an application and we're trying to help him. Oh, now you're crossing stuff out. That looks good.
I have no choice. Yeah. I put it on the wrong line.
Oh, you weren't the supervisor wasn't read. Front desk? Okay. Yeah, he can't read. He can't follow directions. He's a good hire.
I think we know why he's unemployable.
Yeah.
Well, it's the smell.
Ed.
Of the...
Ed, not Ubble. Ed. Okay.
Did you just get yelled at? Or...
Not yelled at. I was trying
you
to
just got told, Pat.
Make it a little nicer than what he said.
Pat, you should just leave.
Nah.
I'm Colin McMahon, owner of Pittsburgh Comics. Joining me tonight are...
Dave.
Pat.
Adam.
See, I keep wanting you to hit that. Adam, and tonight we're going to... You never say that.
That's usually...
He's never,
usually
never prepared.
I can be like, tonight
you think
we're gonna,
I'm prepared?
Tonight we're going to do whatever's on Colin's notebook.
There you go. Well, sadly, the last two things are kill Adam and hide body, so...
Yeah. We're not going to do that. That's been crossed out. Well, no, that's been emphasized on.
It was bracketed, my friend. But so this will be Adam's last podcast. he's moving to West Virginia.
Yeah, not sure yet.
So, sorry, there were air quotes. But
yeah, they can't see you do that with
I know,
your fingers.
I know. So I was looking at the news. There wasn't a whole lot of news that I could really come up with. The big things I had, Channing Tatum was cast as Gambit.
I thought that happened a couple weeks
maybe
ago.
Maybe it did. I just
was that like
I saw
last
something,
year?
Whatever.
It wasn't last year. It was a couple weeks ago.
That's okay. Because you're looking at last year's agenda.
Oh, could
hey, what's
be.
The comic book?
I stopped doing that last week. Do you even pay attention
yeah,
anymore?
But that's yeah. Because you couldn't figure one out. I thought you'd
right.
At least figure
no,
out
No, I just kind of gave up. I just, you know, it was work.
Quitter?
Well, because like the Batman and Superman and all the DC stuff are way too old for that. And so basically I was looking at X-Men and Spider-Man.
Next, if you look at...
You know, that was about it.
Yeah, once you get out of the single digits, you can't do anything for all new Marvel now.
Right, no. We can't get any Marvel books since the 70s.
Yeah. You just didn't think all those comics would
work. Okay, you work on that while filling out your application poorly.
That's not poorly.
Well.
You ought to get them some crayons.
They kind of looking that way. Okay. Ant-Man got a new director finally.
Yeah, Peyton Reed.
Yeah, little concerned because I see the new writer on it. His claim to fame was writing Anchorman 1 and 2.
Yeah.
I
can't imagine Marvel wants to go that route, though. With
well,
the
they have Paul Rudd. You know, it's starting to look that way. And this director's claim to fame was Bring It On, the high school cheerleading movie. So I see this going...
You see that as a negative?
Yeah, yeah. You see it as a positive.
Yeah,
okay.
But I'm a little sick in the head, so...
Okay. But yeah, I'm just sitting here going, okay, yeah, but they're still shooting for next May. And with the amount of CGI that thing's going to need.
Yeah, I mean, I don't get that. Although, I mean, it was originally supposed to start shooting in July, but I just don't get how...
But if they're still working on a script.
Right. I don't get how something that CGI heavy gets... I don't know. I thought it took, you know, a year of just post-production. So, you know, maybe they got a really short shooting schedule and it'll... yeah. I didn't go to film school, but
right.
It just sounds like it's going to end up rushed.
That's how I feel, too. And that was one of the things, going back to X-Men, and we're going to go back to this a little bit, too. But I remember sitting looking at the credits, and there were a lot of special effects houses used.
Mm-hmm.
There are, like, probably at least 10. And it's like, some of it looked good, some of it didn't look good. And I think a lot of that was because of, you know, different
yeah.
styles. You know, somebody, we need this done. Who can do it? Well, Billy, you know, is doing it. Okay. And, you know, it wasn't just one house doing all the work.
Yeah.
So the other thing, Doctor Strange has a director, but I don't know. I don't think I've ever seen anything this guy did. So.
No, it was...
But it looks like we're now getting a Doctor Strange movie.
Yeah, Sinister. And he does a lot of the supernatural stuff.
Well, that's good.
So,
that'd be a good fit then.
Yeah.
But I'm interested to see who they cast for that.
A lot of people were excited about that from online, I saw.
I think he had something coming out this summer, but I can't remember the title. But
okay.
That horror movie.
Okay, cool. Getting back to the movies, just kind of weird, a little off target or topic, but I went and saw that new Tom Cruise, was it Edge of Tomorrow?
Mm-hmm.
And really liked it. The previews didn't do it justice just because it was confusing. And I guess it was a confusing plot to try to summarize. But it was very well done. He did a great job, and I'm not a big Tom Cruise guy, Tom Cruise fan, but I thought he was excellent in it. Really good movie, even though with the big, complicated plot, it really Everything worked. I had no complaints about it at all. Which got me thinking afterwards that maybe I am a little hard on Marvel, since that's a movie that I probably should have had a lot of complaints about, just with the complicated, you know, aliens and just the way everything went down. But I just kind of accepted everything and moved on. But I may have been a little harsher on X-Men than I should have been.
As fanboys, in air quotes, as fanboys, you know, we like this material, and I think because we kind of hold it to a different standard. We want to see, you know, what we loved reading on screen, and unfortunately that's just not always going to be the case. Whereas if it's something you care less about, you can enjoy it. My wife has enjoyed every Marvel movie she's ever seen, just because, you know, she doesn't understand, you know, necessarily some of the plot holes, like, you know, and in the middle of X-Men, when Mystique is going through the files, Azazel's one of the ones in there, and he's dead. Okay, well, I get 10 years has passed, but Azazel's Nightcrawler's father, she's Nightcrawler's mother. Where does Nightcrawler come from if he's dead? But the average fan's not, or, you know, the average film grower's going to say, okay, you know, oh, mutants are cool, they got cool powers. And you know, look at Wolverine, and that's the end of it. And I think that's probably why you're harsher on it.
We just have so much to compare, like something like Days of Future Past to the original story and 60 years of comics, and you don't have anything to compare Edge of Tomorrow to.
Right.
There's no...
Well, there is a book, but I've never read it. It's like a manga. Yeah. Or manga.
Okay. I didn't even know that.
Yeah.
Tomato, tomato.
But, and then I started thinking about it, too, and I think what hurt it was, one, it didn't have a mid-credit scene. So the movie ended, and then I had that long wait before the thing. And the very last shot of the movie was bad, in my opinion. And that caused me to sit there through that whole time thinking about stuff. And it was the shot where, spoilers, where it's Stryker, and then it turns out it wasn't Stryker, it was Mystique. And I found that little twist bad in the sense that Stryker taking Wolverine out of the water made perfect sense. And led to the next stage of Wolverine, let you know how, basically showed you how all that happened.
Yeah. I didn't know what it meant.
Yeah, I didn't either. I didn't either.
I didn't understand, like, unless they change time, is that what they're saying? This whole thing changed
time? I don't
know.
So
now it's
or is Mystique now, I don't want to say bad, because she kind of is bad, but is she the one that turned on Wolverine and turned him over then? Since clearly she then
would that mean she's
was
always
in control
had the
of
Stryker,
him.
Stryker, though. Like in the second movie, that means she would have been Stryker, right?
Maybe. Who knows?
Well, yeah.
I don't know if I'd go that far. But yeah, so just stuff happened. But what I equated it to is at the end of Captain America 2, a movie I really liked and I don't remember having any problems with. If at the very end Nick Fury takes his stuff, burns all of his stuff, puts on his sunglasses, if he had turned to the camera, lifted his glasses, winked and said, "Hail Hydra," you'd be sitting there going, "Wait, what?" And that was all you had, and then you sat there for 15 minutes waiting for the end scene, going,
"Hell Hydra,
what?" So I think
kind of like in the first Spider-Man movie when Mary Jane Watson, like at the end, she makes it sound like she knew, like she was just like in shock, and then the next movie she didn't know. It's a little worse than what you're saying with that, but it's those little twists.
Yeah. So I think that might just be why I might have been a little harsher on it, because I know everybody's saying they loved it, and I'm like, I didn't love it. And they're like, you just hate Marvel. And I'm like, I don't think it's just
I just think it was a decent
I think
movie
it was and as you said, I think it was a good popcorn movie. I think it was a good, not adaptation of the comic, but a good interpretation of what the comic was. It took the best parts of the story and changed it. You know, I have problems with Kitty Pryde suddenly now being able to send people back in time.
Yeah,
and,
I didn't get that.
You know, they didn't establish the mutants in the future, you know, Bishop and Blink and Sunspot and...
Well, I'll tell you one thing. It wasn't X-Men The Last Stand. And there we go.
And it wasn't Wolverine.
Hey, I found a comic book. You ready? 126.
Okay.
You ready?
Yeah.
Thor, the Mighty Thor, number 126. Thor battles Hercules on the cover of his first self-titled issue. I guess that was the first.
Oh, that wasn't Journey into Mystery.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah.
Steve, where were you on that one?
Yeah, sorry, I didn't.
Okay. Now 127's on, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Something okay. happened in Spider-Man.
Well, I'm trying to not to keep using Spider-Man and X-Men. That's my problem. That became the problem, and then it came... You know, and of course, I'm trying to do this on Wednesday, which, you know, isn't my best day for doing extra stuff.
What was the first appearance of the Punisher? Was
that 129. Nice try.
We'll have it running right now.
Oh, so we'll be in 3 weeks.
Everybody, don't listen.
We'll know in a month.
But there we go.
So... So that's all I have news. Anybody else have any news?
Yeah, they cast the Kingpin.
Oh, yes.
For
yes.
The Daredevil series. I'm torn on this, because every time and I know he's been in other things, but every time I see the actor, I always see Gomer Pyle from Full Metal Jacket. No matter what he does.
Like, oh, hey, wow. No, Pyle. He's done a lot since then.
And I know he has, and I know he's done very different roles.
What was his name in
that? What, his real name is...
No. What was his name in the movie, A Full Metal Jacket?
Gomer Pyle.
Well, that was his nickname. That's what they called him.
Leonard
Gomer
Lawrence.
Gomer Pyle was the guy off of Andy Griffith.
Yeah, Leonard Lawrence.
Leonard Lawrence,
and,
that's right.
You know, then there was a line about only certain types of people and sailors are called Lawrence, and then it's you're Gomer Pyle. And
yep.
That's another movie I can recite, so we'll stop.
I always see him as the guy from Men in Black.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Alien. Yeah, he was Edgar in Men in Black.
Which alien was it?
That was the one that they first investigate.
Oh, okay. All right.
See, he had lots of roles. And I remember him from that, Law and Order.
Well, no, he's going to have a lot more roles.
But Vincent D'Onofrio is
He's going to have a lot more roles now because he's playing the Kingpin.
I understand that, but that's how I see him. And I'm like, how can I take him seriously now as the Kingpin?
No, but I think that's good casting because he's a bigger guy without having to be, you know, Michael Clark Duncan. Let's find the biggest person we can and make him the Kingpin.
Then again, I don't think Michael Clark Duncan did like a horrible job.
No, I liked him as Kingpin.
Yeah, I thought that the Daredevil movie, the movie was just the fact
outstanding.
That
it was, one of the greatest Marvel movies ever.
Well, it wasn't written very well. I think that was its main thing.
It wasn't edited well, because if you see the director's cut of the movie, the R-rated version of it is much better. A lot of the things that were plot holes in kind of the theatrical release were actually explained better.
The one scene that I just can't stand from that movie is the weird fight at the beginning of the movie where he meets Elektra. And then they get into this battle on a playground. And I'm just like, nobody knows these are superheroes or something? Like, seriously?
Yeah.
Everybody's watching and they're doing, like, Matrix-style fighting. Of course they are. I just didn't get that. I didn't think it was needed. Like, we get it.
That was a little weird. The other problem I had with it was...
In broad daylight.
Well, when the guy got off for rape and he knocks him onto a train track and lets him get cut in half by the train. And I'm like, that's more of a Punisher move than a Daredevil move.
He didn't kill them.
No, he just didn't save them.
He didn't save them.
Yeah.
But he, according to him,
yeah,
that was his own justice. But he did chase him all the way down into that subway and scare him with his crazy devil costume.
Yeah, so, it just...
I'm going to say...
That was a little more of a Punisher move than a Daredevil move. And that's what I was kind of like, all right, whatever.
I saw it once in the theater and never again, so I can't really quote that.
As watch the director's cut.
That's what I hear, but I'm not spending money on the director's cut. No offense.
If the first cut didn't get it for him,
pretty much.
The second cut he's not going to waste his time.
Fair enough.
I agree, you know, because I didn't buy the director's cut. I saw it on television.
Okay.
And when I saw it, I said, I like this, so I did buy it, and I got rid of my original.
Plus, it has one of the greatest actors of our generation, Coolio.
Coolio. Yep. Gangster's Paradise.
That's right. So, and something I saw actually right before I came here was there's a, and I don't know if this is fact or just rumor at this point, was that Fox doesn't want Bryan Singer to
direct. I saw that headline. I didn't read further.
And it basically stems from the bad press on the whole sexual assault.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, but they don't want him off the project altogether. They just don't want him to direct it. So he can
And then the other thing is basically the way it ended, they have a clean slate to do whatever they want because we honestly have no idea what actually occurred in X-Men continuity now. We're kind of like Wolverine. We don't know.
You got 30 years of what's going on.
Right.
And, you know, I really wish at the end of, where they did show Apocalypse, he would have been in the suit.
Or not even the suit, but the lines. I think it was really missing not having the lines on the face. Because you knew who it was, but you're kind of looking at it going, okay.
Well, yeah, we knew who it was.
Right.
But a lot of people, you know, I had to go to my wife and tell her who it was. And you know, like she was saying to you, I had to explain Thanos to half the people in the movie theater.
Right.
Who's that big purple guy?
Purple Hulk?
Yeah, it's Purple Hulk guy.
That's Darkseid. You'll find him in the Justice League. They'll be like, Superman in that
We were talking last week about, remember wondering about if Beast was CG or not, but Kelsey Grammer was on David Letterman two nights ago, and he was talking about how he flew up there to Canada to do the scene, so it's really him.
Oh, okay.
And he went through the whole makeup process.
That's a shame, because it really didn't look like him. It looked like bad CGI.
But you know what? All the Beast stuff has looked...
No, I like Kelsey Grammer in that role, but...
What's your favorite Kelsey Grammer role, though?
Sideshow Bob.
Exactly. That's mine, too. Yeah. When he gets hit with the rakes...
That's right.
It's just...
And if you've ever been hit with a rake, you'll know I guess.
Colin doesn't like Simpsons.
I don't like, just don't watch. Just one too many comic book guy references, okay?
Worst guy ever.
Excuse me.
Damn monsters.
I know. Okay, anything else?
No, that's...
Okay.
Adam?
I was going to say something horrible about
you. You have not even added a single line. You're never going to get this job.
I know. I've been talking.
I mean, Chief Weasel Herder, you know, it shouldn't be that hard of a job. And
is that what I do here?
No, that's what the job you're applying for.
Gorilla Bob Caretaker.
No, you didn't do a very good job. You kept
goat
letting him out. No, there's no more
goat
goats.
Wrangler.
Goat Wrangler.
Okay, so move on to what did we read?
Yeah.
Who wants to start? David.
I'll start.
My list is short. And
I read The Woods, number 2, by James Tinian IV. This is the one where the Prep Skull is transported, it seems, to be another planet. And in this issue, the teens are outside exploring a little bit. And, of course, the administrators are inside bickering over what they should do. And there's Coach Clay, and he gets into an argument with the girl Maria over control of what's the next step here. Maria wants to is being a little bit more practical because they're outside digging latrines and such. And interested to see where it goes. I think this was a bit laying on the stereotypes of the kids and the administrators a little bit too thick, but I'm still with it. Nailbiter number 2.
Okay.
I don't know if anybody else read that.
I read the first one. I haven't read the second one yet.
Okay. This is a little bit more. This issue is a little bit more character driven. They can. This is the 16 serial killers come from the same town, Buckaroo, Oregon, and one of the FBI agents disappears, who's investigating it, and another one goes in to try to find them and see what's going on. And in this issue, they confront one of the killers is there. His name's Nailbiter, and he got off. He bites the nails off of his victims. He got
That's
off.
That's gross.
Yeah, it's gross. And
he's from Terminus originally.
And
it's good eating there, I hear.
No, I think they take the toenail off.
Who doesn't like a little
they
soiling
eat the
green?
Toe.
He got exonerated in court, so the Agent Finch and Sheriff. What's this?
Lobo?
Sheriff Lobo. Sheriff Crane, both named after birds for some reason. I don't know what that has to do with anything. They go talk to him, and they find out that Nailbiter and the sheriff went to the prom together. So there's a connection between them. They're mostly character building. And
I must have missed a step. Nailbiter's a female or the sheriff's a female?
Sheriff's a female.
Okay.
The sheriff is a female, yes.
That's where I missed it. Okay.
There has to be some reason why they're both named after birds, though. I'm not reading it, but what you just said.
Yeah.
That sounds like one of those things that it's like key to whatever, something to it.
The guy disappeared as Agent Williamson, though, so I don't think Williams.
Or the writer just has a thing with birds.
Could be.
Go back to his past writing and see, like, if there's other bird-like characters.
Okay, that's for Image Books. And I read Amazing X-Men number 8, which is part one of World War Wendigo, or Wendigo. I'm not sure how you pronounce that, if anybody knows.
Wendigo.
Wendigo, okay. This is by Craig Cowell, Chris Yost taking over for Jason Aaron. Art by Ed McGuinness, who I always liked his art. I like this issue. There's some Alpha Flight people, and this is the return of Alpha Flight. Wolverine, I don't even know why, but Wolverine goes up to Canada to see Heather Hudson.
Why not?
Just for the heck of it, knocks on her door, and they find out Vindicator has disappeared.
Seems like Marvel's doing some stuff with Alpha Flight now. Like, they...
Yeah.
I know that was one of the trademarks that they just patented or repatented or however that works again.
I don't even know why, because what can you do with Alpha Flight without X-Men? Like, really? I mean, who cares about all them as long as Wolverine shows up? And it's just
I've always been an Alpha Flight fan. I always like to see, and after reading this issue, Puck's in it and Talisman for a few scenes. I'd love to see Ed McGuinness do an Alpha Flight book. I don't know why they can't get an Alpha Flight book to work.
Who is Talisman? Is she, like, related to shamans?
Talisman, no, he was the shaman. He was the medicine man.
Is she the daughter?
It's the same.
Daughter,
that's what I'm saying.
Michael Youngman?
Yeah.
I think so, yeah.
There must be, because, I kept questioning that, because I was reading the Alpha Flight. What are those hardback books that you got a bunch of in that have, like, the numbers on the side of them?
The Essentials?
Not the Essentials. They're the...
Masterworks?
Maybe
there's the Premier hardcovers.
Yeah. They have an Alpha Flight book, and it just has big Alpha Flight story. So it's like the first, like, Wolverine, not Wolverine going up against Wendigo, but it's the one where Alpha Flight's looking for them, and he goes back to talk to them, and they had Shaman. And then, like, in the next one, it's a little newer, like, probably 90s, and then they have, like, Talisman. And I was just like, who is this character all of a sudden?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I was wondering about that. They're always going up against that character, though. Wendigo. Is that his name, Wendigo? For a while, I called him Wendigo, but I was like, there's no N in this name.
No, it's like it's not the Triskeleton.
It's the Triskelion.
Triskeleton.
Triskelion.
Triskelion. They said it on the show.
Triskeleton.
But there's no skeleton involved.
There's a Wendigo virus going around. The last two pages are, I won't give that away, but it's a cool... last two pages.
Well, I'll tell you, it sounds like Vindicator disappeared, that he's probably has this virus. I may have just ruined it, not even known it.
And there's a funny scene with Nightcrawler. Nightcrawler's back alive, and he sees a Colossus for the first time. And Peter's like, I can't believe you're alive, Kurt. And Kurt's like, didn't I attend your funeral? And Peter's like, yeah, but you were dead recently. Then they, like, run down. Everybody knows Scott's been dead, and Jean Grey's been dead. Everybody's been dead. But it was funny.
They were just like, at least we're not like Jean Grey. And then Scott Summers was there, and he was just like, oh, man.
Ooh, too soon.
Too soon. Be like, get over it, Scott. She'll be back.
Oh, wow. And I think this came out 2 weeks ago, but I just got it last week. This Guardians of the Galaxy Prelude, number 2.
Is that for the movie?
Yeah.
Yeah, it takes place in the movie universe, apparently. But it's just, I don't think it has much to do with the movie itself, but it's a little caper with Rocket and Groot. And they have to, this alien hires them to retrieve this case of something from the hub. It was funny because the alien's name is Squidly, and it has arms like, I don't know if anyone remembers the cartoon Squidly Diddly. That's the octopus.
Yeah, I remember that.
Oh, yeah, yeah, okay, yeah, yeah.
He was like purple.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
So the alien's his name Squiddly, S-Q-D apostrophe L-L.
Squiddle.
So I thought that was funny. But didn't expect much from it. It is a nice little book. And that's it for me.
Adam?
Let's see. I read... was it Aquaman or Swamp Thing? The other day, which continues the story of him. I think it was Swamp Thing came out last week, right?
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't Aquaman. It continues the story that was in Aquaman.
I was going to say, how do you confuse Swamp Thing and Aquaman?
They're crossing over. They're,
yeah.
Okay.
It basically is dealing with the issue, this issue of algae, like this living algae or something. And Swamp Thing goes to take care of it, but he doesn't really get along with Aquaman. But it... While reading it, I said, that kind of makes sense why those two wouldn't get along. Because they're very alike, in a way. They take care of their own realm.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't really want anybody else getting in their way. And that's exactly what they're doing. So I said, this crossover kind of works. You know, plants, water. I figure it's going to deal with, like, the blue. Mm-hmm. And I think something in Aquaman is being created, like some sort of new type of monster type thing. I think it's either going to be some kind of monster that he's going to have to fight, or it might be a new type of avatar that would be more related to the blue, and I don't know yet. I don't know what they're doing there exactly. I know that Professor Shen, I think his name was, from the beginning of Aquaman, is in this, involved in all this and stuff. So I said, well, it sounds like something more Atlantean that they're dealing with. But yeah, so Swamp Thing takes care of the issue, but the thing is, he goes back to the members of the, not the Parliament, but they were old avatars of the Green that he brought with them when he destroyed the Green, like the realm that they lived in. And like, he's asking them questions, and they're just like, you know, they kind of blame him. Two of them kind of blame him, because they're like, he... did this to himself. He shouldn't have created this because there were going to be consequences. He shouldn't have destroyed the Green, the Parliament. I think they're the Parliament. I don't remember if it's the animal man, but the tree guys that led the Green.
They're from Swamp Thing, Parliament of Trees.
Is it the Parliament? Yeah. I forget what the ones were called in the red. I forget who they were. I don't know if they were a Parliament, but the Parliament of Trees he destroyed. And kind of took over and took a lead of the Green, and bringing some of these three previous avatars with him, they kind of explained to him that there were going to be consequences and stuff like that, and that he had to, that he didn't understand everything. And if he did, if he wouldn't have killed them, then he might know more about what, you know, things can happen. So, I don't know. I think Swamp Thing, after even with Scott Snyder not on it anymore, I think Scott Snyder did a good job of writing it. But I think it's still made a good transition out from Scott Snyder. So I think the current writer, which I cannot remember who's writing it right now.
Which one?
Swamp Thing.
Soul.
Is it Soul? I just think he's doing an alright job. I think it's really worth still picking up. If anybody's dropped it because of Scott Snyder leaving, I think it's worth picking up and reading, because it continues off of this whole Green storyline pretty well, and it's not getting too tedious. Like, it's like, okay, let's get off this Green already. There's stuff about the Green that seem interesting, and he does kind of back away from it a little bit and have a little bit of another story, but then it goes back a little bit to figuring out more about the Green and stuff like that. So it's worth picking up. So that's it.
Okay.
I can't think of anything else. I probably read some of what you read. But I want to leave that to you.
Ah, thanks.
I'll join in.
Okay. Moon Knight number 4.
Nope.
It was a really trippy book.
Is he still wearing a suit?
In one scene he was wearing his Mr. Knight suit, but so he has to go help this guy. It's like a sleep study type place, and people keep having crazy dreams. So he locks himself in the room where apparently this happens, and, you know, he comments that there's a weird smell. Well, apparently there was a dead body that was growing a fungus under the floorboards that the therapist knew about and just didn't say anything. So, you know, Moon Knight has this real trippy dream But he wears his the more traditional Moon Knight costume, except for there's more black in it. It's actually pretty cool looking. But where most of that book has been very heavy into the black and white type art, it has a lot of weird colors in it. So it was pretty good. It actually reminded me a lot of like the Telltale Heart in the way it was written on an acid trip, which is, you know.
Are you trying to say an Edgar Allan Poe story on an acid trip?
Yeah, I know. As I said that, I'm like, well, yeah, that's kind of what most of them are. Yeah. So
that has to be a really screwed up book.
Yeah. But it was good. I'm liking it. I'm a little concerned that Alice is coming off of it in a couple of issues and seeing where it'll go. But for right now, I'm liking what I'm seeing. The Punisher, which it's the Punisher. he got blown up.
Face it, Jack. It's the Punisher.
He got blown up like six times in this book because the Howling Commandos are trying to kill him. And you know, it's like every time he turns around, he's getting blown up again.
Did you read The Activity by Nathan Edmondson?
No.
Okay, because Matt read that and he mentioned that the Howling Commandos seem to be that he just took the team right out of The Activity and just turned them into the Howling Commandos.
Okay. You know, if you like Punisher, you'll like it, but it's not really going anywhere. It's you know, you go back to the old Punisher, it was, you know, an issue or maybe two was an arc, and then he moved on to the next group. And this has been six issues with the Dole Solis gang, and even the two, the Trial of the Punisher kind of started that, and you know, it's not really what I want to say. I want to see the Punisher, you know.
Okay. Taking out bad guys.
Yeah, exactly. You know, that's why I like the Punisher Max, because he dispatched people in creative ways. And, you know.
Bear.
Yeah, you got to see him and move on. Yeah, Bear and Barracuda. And, you know, there were some really interesting ones. Batman Eternal number 9.
Thought was really good.
Yeah, I'm digging that.
Was that the one where what's the new guy? The new guy. Who's the new young guy that just came in?
Bard.
Bard.
Yeah.
Where he kind of saved Batman?
No, that was the issue that. Okay. This is the new commissioner gets
he got
pulled to go see Falcone, who you know, Catwoman had robbed Falcone, and you know, he had said, you know, I thought you said you were getting rid of these costume freaks. And the new commissioner, the name escapes me. It's like, well, you know, we would have, except for some rookie screwed up. And he's like, no, not the vigilante, you know, the burglar. So then they set up Catwoman, and Falcone captures him. And Batman was in Hong Kong with Jiro, the Japanese Batman, I don't understand why the Japanese Batman was in Hong Kong.
Yeah, I didn't get that either.
Well, he's Asian Batman, let's say. You know, he covers that area.
Usually they just
Asia's a pretty big area.
Right, but
yeah, he's got a busy day. Yeah, maybe Batman's
well, Hong Kong's not that far from Japan, is it?
No, but you got one Batman for all of Gotham City, right. And then you got, you know,
it's Gotham
all of
City.
Yeah, but you got all
that's
of
like all of Asia. As crime and stuff.
I thought it was odd that the thing I thought was odd about China was that he had like a base of operations there.
Well,
it was
a Wayne International, but you see, it had the giant yen, it had the Godzilla, I thought that was hilarious.
It had Godzilla, it had that, and then, it's kind of like the, when Grant Morrison, they did that in Batman Inc. with Mana Bats, and his base had, like, the wooden nickel.
When I saw that, I thought that was hilarious.
They all kind of have different looks to them.
And then, who do we meet? What new characters introduced?
I remember.
Mrs. Pennyworth.
Yeah, that's right.
Alfred's daughter.
Jaina Pennyworth. Yeah. I don't like how they drew Alfred in that.
What's her name? Julie?
Julia Pennyworth.
It's just the artist.
Yeah.
It changes pretty much every issue. But I think the most of that issue was drawn... Wasn't that... I think that was Gillum March. Who did, like, his big thing was he did Gotham City Sirens. So he's much more for drawing the women.
Okay.
It was interesting that it shows you kind of how much power Falcone has right now when he was there when the police, he like led the police to.
Right. Oh yeah, and everybody knows he's running things.
Catwoman.
Yeah.
It's just like Falcone's kind of running it. I like how they modernized Falcone.
Mm-hmm.
They gave him that jacket and the T-shirt with the rose on it and stuff like that.
This new one was real. The one this week was outstanding.
Okay.
It continued on the story. It was very good.
Okay. Future's End. I'm not feeling Future's End.
I know.
End.
I didn't read the new one yet, but yeah, it needs to get somewhere. It needs to do something. That's enough setup.
Well, it's not even five that it's not in. Doing something. It's doing so many things.
Right.
And then having to tie all this together, or people are just reading it and they're just like, okay, this happened, but how does this connect to the whole Constantine thing? Like, I thought that was a little odd.
Yeah.
Like, Constantine was there and they needed him to find, look at the circles, and it's like the Brainiac circles.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, why would you call Constantine in to look at aliens? Like, he's not really an alien guy. He's all supernatural.
Yeah.
It just, I don't know. Because they looked like they were looking at crop circles. And they brought him to look at crop circles.
But then they brought in the OMAC and all that stuff. Yeah. So it just, there's a lot going on, but it still isn't getting anywhere. And I think my big problem was the first issue was all Batman Beyond centric. Not the first, the zero was all Batman Beyond centric. And I don't even think he's even been in the last couple issues.
Yeah,
so
I
don't know what
like
they're
one or two scenes in the whole.
Yeah, I don't know what they're trying to tie. You know what their plan is for this. So I have a feeling it's going to start losing people if it. You know.
Yeah, I'm going to give it one or two more issues, see if it picks up. Yep. But.
I think the problem is it's this weekly. I don't think they're doing the weekly book as well as Batman.
I don't think
Eternal
it's not paced as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Batman Eternal isn't trying to tell a ton of different stories. It's got different.
They're trying to focus
there's
a on
core
a lot.
Story and then other stuff. Where this one, it's all separate.
I mean, we did have that Spectre story, which I was just like, well, they kind of need to get back to that eventually so we don't forget.
Yeah.
But everything else has dealt with like the main idea besides the whole. The whole nanite thing, which we haven't heard from since that Tim Drake issue.
Yeah, but that was, 3 weeks ago? And that's the other thing, because it is coming every week. It's
it
like,
seems like
oh,
we're not
getting, we're not getting it. But
and I think that in a way that hurts them a little bit, but for this book, I think they're doing it better. But it's hurting Future's End because everything is just getting thrown at every issue. It's like a new thing. And it's just like, okay, what's going on? Like, as Colin was saying with Batman Beyond, like, when are we going to get to Terry McGinnis? Like, what is he doing? Why is he even there? You know?
Yeah.
Is he just flying around doing stuff? Because, like...
Yeah, what is it? What's the event that he's actually trying to stop? And I think we got our first glimpse of it. My guess is the mind thing, the one mind...
The new sphere?
Yeah, the new sphere that Mr. Terrific was putting out there. My guess is that's kind of what creates the problem.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's... It needs to get somewhere fast. Iron Fist, a Living Weapon. It was okay. The art's good in it.
Okay. I read the first one. I haven't gone past that.
It dealt a lot with it started, kind of like Danny Rand and, when he was a boy and the training and Hal's master, taught him different things. It's not just about, you can choose life, kind of that. But then his master's killed, and I don't know. It was complicated. I read it last night, and I still remember what happened.
Okay.
So it wasn't good. And then Original Sin 3. And that confused me so much at the end.
Oh.
I was a lot of talk about that today. Spoilers if you haven't read it, but at the end, Bucky teleports back from the moon or from that planet where the odd team of Bucky, Moon Knight, and
Gamora
were doing things. I still love the cover of 3 where it has Moon Knight in his full cape and cowl. With
the helmet.
The helmet over. I'm like, yeah, that'd work over the cape. Yeah,
it's,
sure.
It's a fishbowl.
Airtight, yes.
Yep.
He's wearing a fishbowl on his head.
But he teleports back and kills Nick Fury. Decapitates.
Yeah.
Now, people are saying, oh, it's an LMD. I'm like, I don't know if LMDs are
that much.
Yeah, where they can be decapitated, without sparks and stuff.
And they've done that before. If it's an LMD,
it's not. But that's the other thing. One, everybody's assuming it's an LMD. Because is that really how you kill off a character who's been around since the 60s and such an integral part of the universe? Granted, they have their replacement.
Yeah.
But it just felt there was no setup to it. There was no reason for it unless, for some reason, Bucky's memory was something that Fury did to him. I can see them turning that around.
But that's kind of my... There's no reason to do that.
Right.
Why, so it was a shock bring ending. Him back yeah. just to do that?
Right, because we haven't seen him in a long time. Since the end of...
Civil War. Yeah,
no, it wasn't Civil War, but the end
Secret
of... Secret Invasion? Aftermath. Yeah. Nick Fury. Like the end of Dark Reign.
Last time we saw them was Battle Scars.
Okay, but the last time I remember seeing him was like at the end of Secret Warriors, where he went off to...
Well, he did look that, but he came back during Secret Invasion.
Yeah.
That was the whole thing he was hiding from, but then the last thing we saw was after Fear itself, when he... is looking for his son and everything, and then after that fact, where
you read Battle Scars,
yeah,
okay,
and he gets his, it was awful.
I didn't read it.
His son gets his eye ripped out or whatever, just so he looks just like the other Nick Fury.
Shocking.
And Nick Fury's just like, well, you're going to be on the shield. I'm going to go look and do some other things for a little while. I'll see you. And he just flies away on his, I guess his jetpack. He might have had his jetpack. He might have. This is Nick Fury we're talking.
Shane, if you go work down there, you have to get your jetpack.
Yeah, that's right.
Or at least you have to say that every time you leave.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I didn't get why they would do that.
And my big concern with Original Sin right now is just it's a 9-issue series, even though it says 8, but it started with a 0. So however you want to look at it. But I still look at it as 4 out of 9. So we're almost halfway through. Nothing's happened. I mean, in reality, it's Watcher was killed before we got there, and then it's a bunch of people looking for stuff, but there's no way it's, you know, they found Doctor Strange found a bullet, and you know, they used the ultimate annihilator for no effect.
Nullifier.
Nuclear.
And then and we have the orb and Executrix and Dr. Midas, who I don't understand at all what's going on with them. So I feel like I don't even really understand what's going on, and we're almost, next week is 4, so we'll be officially halfway through, and I don't get it.
Yeah.
The other thing I don't understand, just scheduling-wise, is we're having 3.1 through 4 is the Hulk versus Iron Man story, and then there's 5.1 through 5 is the Thor versus Loki, Angela's our sister story, but number 4 comes out next week. Which means after 4 comes out, we're going to get 3.1. 3.2, such and such. And then we're going to get 5. And so then we're going to have like 3.3 after 5 and 5.1. It's like just the logistics of it I'm not wrapping my head around.
Yeah, and even if the 5s come out every week...
Right.
You're going to be into issue 7 before they're done.
Right. So I assumed it was going to be 3, then next week 3.1, 3.2, 3.3, 3.4,
and then 4, you get 4.
5, 5.1. So that, you know, so now I'm just sitting here going, or did they just give up on it, or did, you know, what's it's well, just very weird.
It doesn't matter because you shouldn't worry about that because Axis is coming out.
Right, right. And apparently because it's not in the previews, I'm just looking at a little brief news, but there's something with Avengers where Avengers books are all going to be jumping ahead 8 months.
Yeah, I saw that.
And then they're going to be holding still while the rest of the Marvel Universe catches up. And I don't know.
It feels like they've been holding still since before.
Yeah.
Since Infinity. It just hasn't done anything. So
yeah.
You were saying that when you were talking about Winter Soldier going and he kills Nick Fury, that... Maybe Nick Fury's...
And Winter Soldier might be mind-controlled or something's going on.
That's the only thing. He wasn't there when the eye, like, affected everybody.
Right, because they were off-planet. Right, so it shouldn't have affected... Unless that affected everyone in the world.
Or unless it's just a dream sequence.
But he wasn't on the
world. Right, well, fair enough.
Maybe it's everybody in the universe. Wouldn't that cause a lot of issues, like, off-planet and stuff like that?
Well, I like... how everyone was affected except for Nick Fury, and they even comment on that.
Yeah.
So Cap has secrets, and Cap's the guy that doesn't have secrets, but the guy that always has secrets didn't get one.
Right.
How's that
Well,
work?
It doesn't really matter about their secrets. It seems like it's about, like, somebody else's secret affecting you.
Yeah.
So, like, if nobody's secrets has, I guess, affected Nick Fury, then he's off the hook. Which
well, he knows them all, so.
Yeah, he knows all those
be,
secrets.
Yeah, could be.
Which makes me not interested. That's one of the things I don't find interesting about this Nick Fury Jr., which just sounds ridiculous, is the fact that he is not a character who has any secrets, or he's not interesting. Like, Nick Fury...
Nick Fury's been around for 60 years. He's seen some stuff, he's done some stuff, and you know, he does have all the secrets. He's kind of your guide to the Marvel Universe.
Yeah. Oh, well. But,
No offense, it is 10 to 9. Yeah. Did you really think I was open?
We're having a meeting.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just don't understand the character. I mean, he just, you know, you're just going to change the look of the character. That's one thing. Just bring in the ultimate guy. He has a bunch of secrets. But, like, they're not that universe of secrets.
When Angela broke time, you know, she came in from, you know, Image Universe, and somehow Nick Fury Jr. crossed over from the ultimate. And
that's what makes that character so important, is because he is the guy, like, in the shadows that knows everything about anything. And that's how a lot of the times I think they wrote something, because if they didn't have anything to write, they were just like, oh, Nick Fury comes in and he has some interesting secret, you know, thing going on, and we have to go deal with it, you know? But then they got rid of him and added in a character who's just basically a soldier, more of an agent of S.H.I.E.L.D., not like Nick Fury was S.H.I.E.L.D.,
yeah.
You know what I mean? So, I don't know. I don't know what they're going to do with that. It doesn't make much sense to me. Then again, you know, this might end up that it's nothing, or who knows what they'll end up with.
It could be a bad acid trip, or it could be a dream sequence.
But killing the character off like that, in that way, like, it just doesn't make any sense. I don't see a point.
No.
And I doubt it's an LMD, mainly because they did that in that Secret Wars. Or Secret War, I don't remember which one has the S and which one doesn't, but...
Isn't it like
not
alien,
the one in the
aliens.
80s to sell toys? It's the one Bendis wrote, and he was an LMD there because Wolverine like stabs him a bunch of times and kills him for some reason. He tries to kill him, and it turns out he was a robot and that he was in hiding. But yeah, I don't know. I just think it's a bad idea on their part if that's what they're gonna do. But let's see what happens.
All right.
That it? Okay, I got a couple more. Well, one I missed from the week before, Justice League 3000, number 7.
Yeah, I still haven't read that.
We're going to talk about it anyway.
Yeah, go ahead, talk about it.
No, because there's a twist and I don't want to give away.
It's crazy.
It was crazy. Well, you never saw it coming.
I didn't see that coming. Did you have new copies of it? Because you had the damage.
No, I got replacements this
week. Last week you went back to the shelf and grabbed a copy of it to look at it, remember?
No.
Because I said, I was like, oh, man, something crazy just happened. And then you went back there?
No, I didn't. I said it because I got to wait until they do it.
Yeah, I got replaced.
I was going to.
Yeah, that's right. So it is Colin's fault.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, it was UPS's fault. And The Wake, number 9, which I don't want this book to end. But it has one more issue, sadly.
It has 10 issues?
10 issues. 10-issue series. And then the other thing was The Afterlife with Archie Trade came out last week. That was a great story. That was just really, really well done. Oh, yeah. It's just the first arc, but such a neat way to go about it. I just love everything about it, just the way it all came about.
I just love when wholesome people get killed.
No, they were doing the Life with Archie book, and they were doing two covers for each one. And that's the book where Archie marries Betty and Archie marries Veronica, and it's just, you know, telling alternate reality kind of stories. So they do a couple covers for each one, and I think they probably just go to the artist and say, we just need an Archie cover. Whatever you want. You know, they'll have one depicting what's going on, but I know Jill Thompson did one and different people. And this was Francesco Francavilla. And he said, well, okay, what's Life with Archie? But what if we made it like a zombie, Afterlife with Archie? So he made a zombie cover. And they said, oh, that's great.
Now write
the
story.
Somebody went, ding, I think this could be a great idea. And they actually then came out and wrote the story. And the way it's neat is... No matter who you are, you know who these characters are. You understand the dynamic between Betty and Archie and Veronica. You understand Archie's relationship with Jughead. You get Mr. Weatherby, the principal.
Relationship with Jughead.
But you understand Reggie's the problem.
Chasing Amy.
And little things like that. So they didn't have to spend any time building up those relationships, who you knew. You knew what was going on. You knew Moose and Midge. You knew, at least you, if even if you didn't know them, you got it quick.
It
was really, really quick. And then throw in zombies. And they're even doing a spin-off Sabrina book. I think they have a real hit on their hands with this. I think I blew through 10 or 12 copies of the trade last week. You know, just...
Well, they did. They're doing exactly what they did with all comic books. They kind of added it more for adults because they figured out their audience wasn't kids anymore.
That's right. Yeah.
But it's been a real breakout hit. And that's all I got.
When's the next issue come out?
I don't know. That one, it's been so sporadic. Yeah. I don't know when it's coming. But when it comes out,
zombies, they're unreliable.
Well, no, but the neat thing, this is one of those books. Like, there's certain books. I always say lateness kills, and it does. If a book is late, it'll kill. This one, not so much. When it comes out, the people will buy it. Because it's not tied in with anything. It's not part of continuity. You know, where, you know, Inhuman is late. A lot of people are just going to have whatever. Forget it. I don't care anymore.
Yeah.
This one, you're going to get it when it comes out.
I don't think a lot of people who read Archie are worried about continuity anymore.
No.
Are they?
So, yeah. So, it's just one of those. It's kind of a treat when it does come out. Yeah.
I think the comic book companies kind of set it up for, like, that. Like, Marvel, they bring out their books, so, like, sometimes bi-weekly, sometimes this. So, you come to expect it. So, they set us in a habit of...
So, often when it's a month, it feels late.
Yeah, it feels late. But with Afterlife with Archie, Hawkeye, we're not expecting anything. Yeah. We're just expecting a book to show up one time.
Yeah.
If it's, like, a year late, I'd be like, oh, I forgot this existed. Yeah.
But when was the last issue of Hawkeye?
Yeah. I'm speaking of which,
it's not coming out this week. So here's what's coming out next week for you. Kind of an odd week, kind of an off week, I will say. We got Avengers, the next part of Original Sin for that. Batman Ra's al Ghul Bombshell, the Batwoman Bombshell. A book called Doodle Jump, no clue. I think it's from Dynamite. It's supposed to be like some kid thing. I'm not sure.
Is that like Scribble Knots or something?
I don't know,
but it's going to be Colin's favorite book.
It will be my book of the week.
Because that's why he picks books like Six Gun Gorilla and Punk Rock Jesus, because of the
names.
Yeah,
not necessarily this one.
This one, he's just like, what is this?
Escapo, which I think is a new Paul Pope book, I think. I'm sorry
Bob
if I'm wrong. I Have Newt. I'm not sure, but it's a Dark Horse number one.
Which rhymes with I Am Groot.
Yes, it does, exactly. The Harley Quinn Bombshell, the Justice League War action figures are coming out, the Flash, Green Lantern, Shazam, Superman, and Wonder Woman. The next arc of Kill Shakespeare, Mask of Night, is coming out next week.
I don't know how well the Justice League War action figures are going to sell, because they look a little, they just look odd.
The Wonder Woman specifically looked odd, so we'll see.
But the Wonder Woman is also the only one that looks different than what the new 52 ones look like. Like, the Shazam looks exactly like the new 52 Shazam.
You can't really do much to Shazam's outfit. You know? You get rid of the cape, I don't know, a different color. Yeah. But
tassels.
Oh, I totally missed highlighting. Wow, it's like I started highlighting and then I forgot. So hang on, I got to kind of keep looking to see what else is coming because I clearly missed some. MPH number 2 is next week. That one did well. Future Zen. Oh, no, never mind. Nova tying in with Original Sin and Original Sin 4. Red Hood Bombshell, which will probably be of Starfire.
And Trampy.
Trampy, yes.
And after watching Teen Titans Go, it just...
messes with your head, man. Yeah. Silver Surfer number 3, Star Trek City on the Edge of Forever. This one has some buzz behind it because it's basically...
That's a very popular episode.
Yeah, but it's the actual script that was... I guess apparently the episode was actually pretty edited.
That episode was like filmed on a set that was being used at the time. So like if you look at certain things, there's like... used for something else at that time.
Okay.
And like maybe another show or something. And, like, if you look closely, like, there's things about, like, that town from that show instead of this show.
Okay.
In that episode. I forget what that show was, but I thought that was kind of funny.
Okay. Thomas Alsup, which is a new one from Boom that was really interesting. I got a black and white preview of it. That was neat. Very much take Constantine and mix him with, like, TV star, and you kind of have it. It's a guy whose job passed down through the ages of being what is called the Hand of the City, and he protects New York City from all mystical intruders and things like that. And that is his job. If something supernatural is going on, it's his job to stop it. But because he's also like a TV star.
Who was that done by?
It's Boom. It's from Boom. But that was really good. I enjoyed that very much. TMNT Turtles in Time. I'm not sure what it is, but a new Turtles book. Unity number 8. I think that one's finally ending.
People, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle people like the idea of Turtles in Time because the video game did so well. But what's fun, because the third movie, they do go back in time.
Yeah, it was
they
the
never
samurai.
Called it Turtles in Time before. And then out of nowhere, like after, like years after, they decided to like put Turtles in Time after the movie to sell it because it's marketed, you know, just by that word because the video game did so well. Which like, is a fun video game.
A New Hope wasn't called A New Hope when it came out. It was just called Star Wars.
That's it. Well, people just like people love the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles arcade game.
Yeah.
And they never had that to play at home. Because they made a game, like they made a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles game for Nintendo.
Yes, they did.
And it was awful. And then they brought out one called Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2, the arcade game.
Yes.
And it was not the arcade
game. It wasn't
game.
Exactly the same.
And then 3 was called Manhattan Project.
Yeah.
And I've never played that, to tell you the truth. I hear it's not bad, but it's not great. And so is the second one. And then the fourth game was Turtles in Time. And it was the closest game to the arcade game that you could get. And I think that's why it did so well, you know. It's funny, you can't get these, which I don't understand why in this day and age why we can't. Because people really want those old arcade games because you can't play them anymore. Like, you can't play the Simpsons arcade game anymore. And that was a really popular. Though, when I used to be able to play it, was that theater over by the Washington Mall. That old theater over there, they had a Simpsons arcade game over there.
Okay.
So, but you can't play those games. But that's kind of why they use that. So, whatever this is, they're just selling off of the Turtles in Time name. Next.
Sorry.
I have fun facts along.
There you go. Yeah, yeah. As soon as I hear turtles, I tune out. Sorry. Wicked and Divine number 1, which is a big one from Jamie McKelvey. I don't hate turtles. I just don't.
All turtles. Big, he's the opposite of that kid from the YouTube video.
I like turtles.
I like turtles. And the Wonder Woman bombshell. So
he's the anti-kid from YouTube. From our show.
Yes, exactly. I'm the anti-turtle kid. Thank you. Kind of proud of that.
I don't know. He at least likes something.
Okay. Well, I have a quick note. I'm going on vacation week after next. So if there's anything in the previews book you want, please let me know when you can. Preferably by the end of next week at the latest, because I really don't feel like trying to update my order via my iPad from the beach. It sounds like fun, I know, but I really don't want to bring my computer.
Poor attitude.
Oh, maybe I will. We'll see. We'll see how it goes.
He hates turtles.
I hate turtles.
Yeah. Don't ask for any turtle stuff.
Yeah.
He's worse than the Shredder.
So
he's going to dine on turtle soup tonight.
We'll talk to you next week. Adam?
That's a podcast. Seen it quite.
respect when I jam these in the beats. And my tape deck pops, my mixtape still rock. They're in your system, that's what Soundwave's telling me on the block. Ricky Bobby Drake's the only ice that I rock with. And mental telepathy is the only style that I talk with. Close your eyes, you can listen up in your mind. During this song, been freestyling there the whole time. Now, put your hands up like this. For all the vigilantes in the streets taking a risk. For all the heroes undercover, ducking, pressing the pigs. For all the villains that he's keeping on that doomsday tip. That's how we do it. Superpowered MC who can spit. That's how we do it. Superhuman on these tracks that I flip. Yeah, cause you ain't seen it quite like this. Because that's how we do it in the 6-1. On these cats, right? Yeah. Spitting a rhythm that nobody's getting. I'm down to the infinite watches. The wisdom will baffle these women and children. I'm ripping tracks. I go Mark 5 with a power pack. Hawkeye, what I'm aiming at. Stop time. Watch your chain react. Can't lie. I'm a brainiac. Little they know I'm still in the show. I'm filling the streets. Unlimited flow. The second of Doc Ock when I'm killing it. Yo, please. Shots to your chest. You're rocking a mess like Cable did. I'm hungry as Wally West at a kitchen table. Nobody will save your kid. I'm Frank with a gun. I'm Hank with his son. I'm live when I skip lunch eating rappers, man. So thanks for the gum. I'm Stark's wallet back before all these banks had a run. I'm Lex Luthor when I rap. I'm trying to blank out the sun. Cause all I see are friendly faces and shifty eyes. Keeping these anonymous commenters honest. Making them realize. You love to hate me on the net when I try. That's why you get no love when